From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, imagining a different post-pandemic future for Michigan's cities.
Think about parking. Think about all the money spent on parking. And when you add in alternative vehicles coming along and different services available, you know, that starts to look a little bit different, too.
Also, the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Artifacts, some of which are anything but antique.
If you have a race-based incident that occurs in this country that receives any type of national attention, you will have two- and three-dimensional representations of that within a week or so.
And musician Izzy Johnson plays music for Just Being, a project they've worked on for years.
I finally was able to organize my thoughts with it, really conceptualize how to go about recording these songs into a full piece of music.
Those stories just ahead. Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, a small museum in mid-Michigan that holds an important place in our conversation on race, the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia.
Why do people collect these objects? Because there are millions of them. Quite frankly, the biggest pool of people that collect these objects are folks who thought they could make money from them.
That's coming up later on today's show. But first, Michigan's businesses are well into planning for what they hope will be a recovery from the pandemic. And so are urban planners and city leaders. They're seeing both new problems and opportunities for renovating Michigan City's downtowns. A massive injection of federal funding is going to provide a new chance to cross some things off of planners' to-do lists. But in cities like Lansing, the challenges are pretty substantial. Michigan Radio's Tyler Scott's been looking into this. Here's a story he filed for us.
As the capital of Michigan, Lansing's downtown economy has relied largely on state employees who commute into the city to work and spend their money. But economic developer Bob Trezise worries that if state employees are allowed to work remotely after the pandemic, that could affect downtown plans in a number of ways.
Because so many businesses, particularly food industries, restaurants, really rely on that 8-to-5, you know, population being captured in down here in a downtown area.
Lansing Mayor Andy Shore is also hoping that the state will help the city through this weird transition period by investing to build more attractive residential neighborhoods near downtown, something that's been a long-term goal of the city.
With all the dollars coming in from the federal government, it would be great to see that go towards economic development and housing in our, especially in our downtown walkable areas.
The state of Michigan expects to have about a $3.5 billion budget surplus thanks to federal COVID-19 relief funds. Lansing got a good chunk of money, too. Mayor Shore says most of that will go toward making up lost revenue from sources like income tax and parking during the pandemic. But some small and medium-sized cities with walkable downtown neighborhoods and affordable housing have been successful in luring new residents recently. University of Toronto professor and urbanist Richard Florida says much of that activity predates the pandemic.
I could see that happening a half dozen years ago, and kind of the pandemic just shifted the tables a little bit or accelerated the transition in their favor.
Cities' approaches will likely vary in the way they apply federal COVID relief funds. In Dayton, Ohio, Mayor Nan Whaley says there may be enough money to invest in local economies.
There's a balance, too, with the ARPA money for cities of, you know, wanting to get money out the door or filling budget holes that you've seen that you have because of COVID. But then there's also this huge opportunity to really work to create some opportunity in some places that, frankly, you know, haven't been able to make it work because of, you know, lack of investment.
Whaley heads the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and she says cities are waiting for final rules from the U.S. Treasury about exactly how they're allowed to spend the federal funds. She says some cities will have to use most of their federal relief aid to cover the costs of dealing with the pandemic. Across the country in Wichita, Kansas, officials expect to get up to $70 million in federal relief aid. Mayor Brandon Whipple says for his city, that's a significant windfall.
This is the first time where we actually have a bit of money to invest in the community to play with, where we're not in a budget crisis.
Whipple hopes to use a few million to incentivize affordable housing, a few million for job training and other initiatives to try and attract more residents.
Because if we do this right, we can take advantage of this moment. We got to find meaning in that terrible year that we had with COVID. And if there's any silver lining, it's turning what we have now into a great opportunity.
Of course, protecting the economic health of cities requires long-term strategies. Planners and others hope that some of the new investments made possible by federal relief could shape the look and feel of some neighborhoods for years to come.
We've invited Tyler to come on back and give us a little bit more depth on this story. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, good to talk to you, April.
So the story goes from Lansing to Dayton, Ohio, and Wichita, Kansas, to talk about how these cities might spend their federal COVID relief spending. What do you think stands out about the situation that Lansing's in?
Well, I wanted to go to different places because cities all over the country are getting federal relief payments. But of course, local economies and the particular challenges are different everywhere. Some places are going to have to spend most of that money just backfilling lost tax revenues and stuff they lost during the pandemic.
Yeah, like you mentioned.
Yeah. For Lansing, that's part of the case. They're going to spend a lot of it on making up those expenses. But they have a particular situation that everyone in Lansing thinks is pretty unique in the sense that the downtown capital area for years has been dominated in terms of workers by State of Michigan employees. Now, state departments are allowed to craft their own return to work plans. Different state employees might only have to come into work, a couple that I know personally, one day a week into their old downtown Lansing office to do their job. If you lose those folks, that's a big concern for businesses in downtown, where there's a lot of restaurants, a lot of downtown shops built around state workers going out for lunch, for example. And so there's this challenge that Lansing has been considering for a long time, how to get more people to spend more time in downtown, whether that's residential, and there have been more housing developments going up in recent years, and at the same time, you're trying to attract business investment to give people more reasons to spend time in downtown.
Yeah, for those who aren't in Lansing on state business very often, we should say this is the kind of place where people come to work all the time, but they don't very much live there. I mean, obviously some do, but a lot of folks live in the surrounding areas.
Absolutely.
So can you give us some more detail on what it is folks in Lansing think they might do if they move on this? I mean, is redeveloping empty office space really a plausible solution?
Yeah, there's a concern about office space because the state has canceled a number of leases. In the city of Lansing, there's been 5 lease cancellations that equates to 65,000 feet of office space that the state of Michigan just isn't going to be using anymore. That's not all because of the pandemic. Some of those moves were scheduled before the pandemic. But the question of what to do with these businesses, there is hope. Lansing Mayor Andy Schor is hoping that the state will come in with some of its federal COVID funding, which is different from the city's, of course, and kind of help Lansing out. If you're going to pull all your workers from our downtown, invest in this economy somewhat. Local developers have an idea where they want to establish a subsidy program to help real estate developers turn some of these old spaces into residential. If they're going to be empty office buildings, maybe we can convert them to apartment complexes or mixed-use facilities where there's a grocery store or a gym or something on the first floor and maybe a mix of office space elsewhere. There's mixed attitudes about how much that's possible because, you know, if you're going to turn an office building into an apartment, every place needs its own plumbing, electrical. There's a lot of work involved there. And there's a lot of cost. I talked to a guy who's heavily involved in real estate in downtown Lansing. All his residential units are full, but it's too expensive for him to build right now because costs are so high.
Such a nutty time to be taking on projects. I mean, we are still in a pandemic. Do you feel like there's anybody who has a clear vision of what this might look like?
No, absolutely not. Everybody knows it's going to change, and everyone's having conversations around that fact. The look and feel of downtown Lansing and other areas could change really over the next number of years, over the long term, thanks to changing priorities both in city officials and how they want to develop the city, and as people, those who can afford it, who might be regular people, workers, might be reprioritizing where they want to live if they're able to work remotely. And so there's a push to make this city, Lansing, more attractive to people who might not have considered it as a place to live before. But to do that, you have to have amenities and places downtown where people want to spend their time.
It's got to be scary for people who might have been in one kind of business, like, say, providing parking for state workers, to think about taking something like this on.
Yeah, absolutely. And parking is a huge part of it in Lansing. If you just Google downtown Lansing parking structures, the map lights up like it's a city where there's a lot of commuters. They need a place to put their car.
Right.
Dan Gilmartin is the CEO of the Michigan Municipal League. He thinks Lansing and other cities will see changes, maybe even some redevelopment of old office spaces and how certain buildings and other spaces get used in the future.
think about parking, think about all the money spent on parking. And when you add in alternative vehicles coming along and different services available, you know, that starts to look a little bit different too. So when you take surface parking and parking lots and office buildings and I'm not smart enough to tell you exactly how it's going to look in 5 years, but sure, it's going to look different.
And to whatever extent that cities and their private sector partners can invest and help make that change happen, it could be an opportunity for some cities like Lansing if they can figure out the right approach.
There was all this fear at the start of the pandemic that people would just leave, you know, leave New York, leave Los Angeles. And there's been some reporting that smaller cities, I guess including cities in Michigan, have seen a bit of a housing boom. Do you think that this really represents a substantial shift for towns like Lansing that don't have a sexy brand like, say, Detroit?
It depends on what cities can offer people who might move there, especially if people, again, have more flexibility if they're able to work remotely more than they have been in the past. I talked with University of Toronto professor Richard Florida. He studies urbanization and he knows Michigan pretty well. He says there have been more small towns and rural areas that over the past few decades have invested in their amenities to make more cool places to draw in more residents.
I recently was in Traverse City in Northport, Michigan. I met lots of people who used to live in downtown Detroit, and maybe they'll move back to downtown Detroit after the pandemic, but found a new lifestyle in Traverse City. I met lots of people who were from New York who decided to move to Traverse City. So I think particularly among these smaller cities that have unique amenities, a lakefront, a waterfront, and have been able to build up a kind of food culture, a restaurant culture, some kind of amenity mix, they've competed really well. But that isn't just a result of the pandemic.
Florida says that trend was already happening before the pandemic. It's just